Numbers, chapter number 9. We're going to read the end of this chapter from verse 15 on down to the end. And I want to preach a message entitled, The Where and When of God's Will. The Where and When of God's Will. I told our Sunday school class I had prepared the Sunday school lesson for this morning several weeks ago. And then I prepared the message. The Lord gave me this message this week. And then this morning I came in and pulled out the Sunday school lesson and reviewed it. And then first I looked at the sermon and reviewed it for this morning. Then I looked over my Sunday school notes and I thought, boy, there's such a similarity. And then you start, you know, second guessing and thinking, Lord, did I hear you right? Should I save this message? And then it's like, you know what I find out? Sometimes you write a sentence and you put a period at the end. Sometimes you write a sentence, you put an exclamation point. Sometimes you write a sentence and you put two exclamation points. And so for whatever reason, the Lord's directing us back to this topic of the will of God. This is a fascinating portion of Scripture. Let me, before I kind of get into the reading of it, give you a little bit of the background. But by now, of course, God has worked mightily in Moses' life, and then through Moses' life to use him to go to Egypt and to miraculously free the children of Israel out of bondage. And we see, the Bible calls it the mighty hand of God in that process. We see the stubbornness of Pharaoh. Let me just give us all a lesson there. Don't think you can out-stubborn God, okay? You know, you're outmatched, all right? And the more that Pharaoh said, I won't, the more God made him wish he had. And so, you know what? One of the great lessons we can learn from that is, hey, let's spend less time arguing with God and more time just obeying God. Amen. God knows best. Come on. God knows best. But then, of course, now they've gone over the Red Sea and now they're into their wilderness journey. And how are they going to be directed in their wilderness journey? Okay. How are they going to know where to go? How are they going to know when to go? And there's no GPS, okay? By the way, there's no knowledge of all of the different nations that live out there and the dangers that are posed. Hey, folks, again, I know I'm laying groundwork here, but aren't you glad that God has a view that it's impossible for us to have? And sometimes the where of God's will doesn't make sense to us, and sometimes the when of God's will doesn't make sense to us, and many times we're going to find out even frustrates us, but that's simply because of our limited sight. And that's why the Bible says that we need to walk by faith and not by sight, because I cannot see what God can see. Let me add something else. I can't foresee what God can foresee. And so when you relax into the will of God and take on David's attitude, where when he wrote the psalm, for the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And then just put yourself under the guidance of a shepherd, you're never going to go wrong in life. I think many of us could. I know I could, and many of you would, if given the opportunity, you would be willing to. You would be transparent enough to say, preacher, the handful of times I got off track in my life is simply because I wanted to be my own shepherd. And I think most of us will look back and say the best stretches of our life is when we let God be God. And we bowed to his leading, was tender to his leading in our life. The where and when of God's will. Numbers chapter 9, verse 15. Let's all stand for the reading of the Bible. Really think through this as I'm reading it. Numbers 9, verse 15. And on the day that the tabernacle was reared up, the cloud covered the tabernacle, namely the tent of the testimony. And at even there was upon the tabernacle as it were the appearance of fire until the morning. Now you picture that, okay? So that he said it's as the appearance of fire. So you've got something that looks like a cloud that descends on the tabernacle during the day, but at night it's within the cloud. There's the appearance of light and heat and flames and fire. And this is the presence of the Lord. We're going to find out, okay? And verse 16, so it was always. And folks, it's always there. God's always there, okay? Okay, we don't always notice it. We don't always see it, but it's always there. The cloud covered it by day, and the appearance of fire by night. Verse 17, and when the cloud was taken up from the tabernacle, then after that the children of Israel journeyed. And in the place where the cloud abode, there the children of Israel pitched their tents. Boy, isn't this simple? Isn't this simple? Oh, we make life more complicated than it needs to be. You're already thinking, yeah, preacher, but they had a cloud. I know. We're going to get to that. Sometimes I wish I had the cloud. And then sometimes as we read on down, I'm not sure. Before you say that, you might want to read the rest of it, okay? All right. So, verse 18, at the commandment of the Lord, the children of Israel journeyed. Now, it's interesting. The cloud moving was the commandment of the Lord. That's what this is saying. God used the cloud to command them when to move, and God caused the cloud to stop when he were to command them to stay. So verse 18, at the commandment of the Lord, the children of Israel journeyed, and at the commandment of the Lord they pitched. As long as the cloud abode upon the tabernacle, they rested in their tents. When the cloud tarried long upon the tabernacle many days, then the children of Israel kept the charge of the Lord and journeyed not. And so it was when the cloud was a few days upon the tabernacle, according to the commandment of the Lord, they abode in their tents. Notice that the command of the Lord's tied to the cloud and the movement of the cloud. And according to the commandment of the Lord, they journeyed. Verse 21, and so it was when the cloud abode from even unto the morning, that the cloud was taken up in the morning. Then they journeyed, whether it was by day or by night, that the cloud was taken up, they journeyed, or whether it were 2 days. Think about this. Or a month, or a year, that the cloud tarried upon the tabernacle, remaining thereon. The children of Israel abode in their tents and journeyed not, but when it was taken up, they journeyed. At the commandment of the Lord, they rested in their tents. And at the commandment of the Lord, they journeyed. They kept the charge of the Lord at the commandment of the Lord by the hand of Moses. Oh, I think we're going to get help this morning. I think we will. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, these wonderful stories, Lord, are timeless. And we know that thousands of years separate between where we stand and when this happened. But I'm so thankful that all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. And so these Old Testament stories, Lord, they come to life, and through your Spirit's help can come to life to help us in our time, in our day, in our set of circumstances. So we pray, Lord, that you would bless and help us, dear Lord, as we look over this portion of scripture. Teach us, help us to be more aware of your presence, understanding both the where and the when of your will. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. During the wilderness journey, God devised a plan for leading the children of Israel. This plan communicated to God's people both the where and the when of God's will. By the way, both are important. It's important that we're where God wants us to be, and it's important that we are there when he wants us to be there. God communicated to them both the direction and the location of his will, and he did this, boy, this is what we hit in our Sunday school class, day by day. And let me just stop and kind of redefine what I'm talking about, because I think so much preaching has been done connecting the will of God to just a calling or to a title, where someone might say, well, preacher, I know the will of God for your life. The will of God for your life was to be a pastor. No, that's the calling of God in my life. But folks, the will of God unfolds day by day. Yes, sir. The will of God is not one big thing, but 1,000 little things. I said to our Sunday school class, do you know the most important thing that God wanted you to accomplish in all of your life, he could have scheduled on tomorrow? And if we're not tender to the leading of God, we could miss the most important thing. The most important thing that God wanted you to accomplish, you may have already accomplished it and do not even look back on it as being that important. Yes. But you have not yet seen the rest of the story of that moment. And so it's very important for all of us to live with a tenderness to the leading of God in every single day. And I know we have schedules, and I know we have projects, and I know we have a to-do list. And you know what? If we're going to be productive, all those things are important. I'm not against any of them. But I will say this, in the process of carrying out our lives and living out our lives, I think God has a will every day that's unfolded on a daily basis, and some small thing that happens, some opportunity to have an impact on even one person's life may be the most important reason God put us here on earth, and we may not even know it. Today, I'm going to say this. I'm going to make it really personal for all of us. Today, God has a plan for your life. That's exciting to me. Tomorrow, God has a plan for your life. Every day, God has a will and a plan for your life. By the way, it involves both the where and the when. And it's important that we understand God's will through those two glasses. Look again at our text and let's find some introductory Bible principles, okay? Look at verse 18. And this is just to explain the story again and kind of go over some things. Verse number 18, God used a cloud to direct his people by day, and he energized that cloud with fire, a likeness and appearance to fire to direct the people by night. Verse number 18, at the commandment of the Lord, the children of Israel journeyed. The commandment of the Lord, they pitched as long as the cloud abode upon the tabernacle, they rested in their tents. Number two, the cloud rested on the tabernacle. Verse number 16, so it was always, the cloud covered it by day and the appearance of the fire by night. Covered it, what's it talking about? The tabernacle in verse number 15. And I'm not going to preach a message on the importance of the church, but let me at least take and pause and not go past this principle. You know, folks, I don't believe it's possible to discover fully the will of God and not reverence the Lord's Day. I want to just encourage a nation that's gotten away from Sunday school to get back in Sunday school. We're wringing our hands and we're living in frustration, and everyone's on TV talking about how did we get here. And I think to myself, I know it sounds so oversimplistic, but there was a day when people just got up on Sunday, got their kids ready, and walked them into the house of the Lord. Amen. And you know what? When the majority of Americans were doing that at one point in our country, we were not having the atrocities that we are facing now, committed by many of those young people. Think about that. And so, you know what I found out is this. I believe that it's impossible to live out the will of God without also having my life connected to a assembly of believers. I think it's a big deal. I think it's important. And so I think it's interesting that God said, yes, I'm going to lead you by a cloud, and that cloud's going to have an appearance of fire by night, but listen, it's not going to come rest on your home. It's going to rest on the tabernacle. Keep your eyes that direction. And then we see number three, if the cloud and or the fire was taken up, then the people were to follow the cloud and the fire. I know this is basic, but let's just make sure we understand. If the cloud and the fire abode, the people too were to abide where it rested. That's what verse 17 tells us. When the cloud was taken up from the tabernacle, then after that the children of Israel journeyed, and in the place where the cloud abode, there the children of Israel pitched their tents. Now, folks, I mentioned this, but the cloud and the fire represented and was equated to the commandment of the Lord. And so the Lord used the cloud to be his commandment. Okay, this is how I'm going to do it. You equate the moving of the cloud with my commandment. When you see the cloud move, that's me commanding you to move. When you see the cloud rest, that's me commanding you to rest. Verse 15, where and when they traveled. Now think about this. We're getting to it. Where and when they traveled and where and when they camped was fully controlled by the Lord. Oh, my goodness sakes. What a goal for our lives, you know. God did not do this. Think about this. Boy, the devil's so good at sitting on our shoulder and try to put God in a negative light. God did not do this to control his people. God did this to direct his people and to protect his people. And remember what I said. God has a viewpoint. God has things that he can see that none of the rest of us can see. And you know what? Sometimes the where of God is frustrating to us. And sometimes the win of God is frustrating to us. But you know what? I'm not smarter than God. And so I've just learned to trust him. Now let's just kind of settle some things this morning in our hearts. Come on. God loves us. God sees what we cannot see. God knows what Jerry Ross does not know. God cares for each and every one of us. By the way, God is good. All these things the Bible teaches us. God knows, by the way, we have an enemy. God knows we have that enemy is a roaring lion walking about seeking whom he may devour. God knows where the traps are laid. God sees where the danger lies. I can't see all of that. There's the visible creation, but there's the invisible creation. God can be trusted. Oh, I want you to believe that. God can be trusted. God can be trusted. Amen. God still wants to direct and protect each and every one of us. Now, maybe he's changed the circumstances a little, but you know what? I believe that what was available to them is available to us. Amen. He wants to protect us, and he wants to take care of us, and he wants to direct us, and he's got incredible things he wants us to accomplish, but we need to beware. He wants us to be when he wants us to be there if we're going to have a chance to do these things. Does that make sense?
Yes, sir.
I think the wisest thing any of us could do is just allow God to direct our lives. Hey, let me say it this way. Just let God be God.
Amen.
Just let God be God. I mentioned that David understood this. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. Hey, you're going to pitch your tent here a while. And then he leadeth me beside the still waters. Well, that's a good location. That must have been fun. You ever taken a pleasant stroll beside a babbling brook on a sunny day? That's a good walk. He restores my soul. And a lot of times those times are designed to just kind of help us, heal us. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And then all of a sudden David shifts his testimony. And there he begins to talk about dark trails. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Now stop a minute. The same God that was leading you, the same God that was resting you, the same God that was restoring you, is the same God that's beside you in that valley. And you know what? He understands that some of the valley trails are just as important in our lives as the trail beside the babbling brook. And so there's where we really grow close to him and pull close to him. Think about that. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. And sometimes he puts us in very difficult situations, and he shows us that even in the midst of our enemies, he's there. And not only is he there, he's going to care for us. Can you imagine? It's like in the middle of a battlefield. You're surrounded by all of the enemies, and here they are with their swords and their spears and all of their plans to destroy you and destroy your family. And the Lord, right in the middle of that, shows up and takes a blanket and puts it on the grass and pulls out a picnic basket and sits down and said, let's eat. It's literally what David was saying here. I mean, right in the presence of my enemies, he prepares a meal for me. He prepares a table for me. He anoints my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of the life of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And I think David just said this. I've lived my life long enough to know it's just a smart thing to stick with God.
Amen.
I mean, wherever the cloud goes, just follow the cloud.
Yep.
And wherever the cloud abides, just, you know what, pitch your tent and exercise patience and just, hey, God's not making any mistakes. Okay. How about King Solomon understood this. He wrote in chapter 3, through inspiration, my son, forget not my law, and let thine heart keep my commandments. Remember the cloud connected to the commandments of God. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. So shall thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Now here's the two verses. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will what?
Direct.
He shall direct thy paths. He shall direct thy paths. Wow. You see, preacher, those Bible verses are so plain. I get it. God wants to be my shepherd. He wants to direct my life. He has a will each day for me. I want to be in the will of God. Preacher, I want to be in the will of God. Preacher, I don't have a cloud. Told you we were going to get here. I don't have a cloud. And at nighttime, that cloud doesn't glow with the appearance of fire so that I can even see it in the dark. You know, sometimes I look around, there's not a cloud in the sky, and sometimes I look around and I'm seeking the will of God and I'm not even sure how to find it. You know, so how do I make sure I'm heading in the right direction at the right time? It's not as simple as it was then. How do I know when to pitch camp and to pull stakes? How do I discern the will of God in my life? And how is it that so many people, watch this, boy, we better take heed and take lesson. How is it that so many people, a lot of them good people, even Christian people, have missed God's will for their life? Well, let me tell you this. I want to convince you of something. You've got something better than a cloud. And you've got some things better than the appearance of fire. You have some things, as New Testament Christians, they did not have. Let me say this first of all. You have the commandments of the Lord. And they're not contained in a cloud. They are contained in a book. You know what? They didn't have the scriptures. They didn't have all of the scriptures. They had part of the scriptures. They hadn't even received the law of God yet at this point in their journey. And so God gave them extra things because they did not yet have what we will have. But I will tell you this, one of the great ways to make sure that you are doing that day as God's will unfolds day by day, one of the best ways to make sure that you're where you need to be, when you need to be, is just get up every morning. Folks, isn't this sound so simple? How many times do we repeat these things? But it works. To just get up every morning. And you know what? Brew a cup of coffee. And have a Bible sitting beside your favorite place to read, wherever that is, out on the deck. You can do some of that in this, with the weather the way it is, or in your recliner, and just open the Word of God and just spend time reading it. It's amazing, folks. No matter where you read, no matter where you are in your Bible reading, isn't it amazing how God seems to match that portion of Scripture to give you what you need to help you know, okay. You need to stay put, or it's time to move forward in this area of your life. You need to wait on that, or you need to do something about that. And I don't know how to explain it, except once you're a born-again Christian, hey, listen, God wants to communicate with you. He wants to guide you. He wants to be your shepherd. He wants to direct your paths. And so we have the commandments of the Lord. It's not in a cloud. They're contained in a book. We have communication, the ability to communicate with the Lord. Folks, at this point in that tabernacle, there was a veil. And not everybody could go into the presence of God. But when Jesus died on the cross, that veil ripped. And it ripped from top to bottom. It wasn't a man that ripped it. God ripped it. And you know what? Then we have this invitation in Hebrews to come boldly to the throne of grace. So we have access to God in a way that the average person didn't have access. We have the commandments of God that they did not have. I think we've got something better than a cloud. Preacher, I want the cloud. I want it to be simple. I want it to be plain. It can be simple. It can be plain. God wants to talk to me. God wants to talk to you. Listen, wait before the Lord. Okay? Don't go days. Don't go weeks without opening your Bible. Because there's some things that God will use that book for to help you to know what to do, that there's just no other way to get guidance. Okay? And then number three, you have the day-to-day direction from God, but he does not hover over a curtain tabernacle. He's contained in the temple of the body of each and every born-again believer. What, know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit of God? Think of the advantages. These Old Testament saints, I won't go back and teach it, but folks, they did not have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit of God. We have that. They did not have unhindered access through the blood of Jesus Christ into the very presence of God. We have that. They did not have all of the scriptures as we have them in our hand today. Think about this. I think we're better off. And by the way, the reason God had to change all of that is, listen to me, the will of God each and every day for each of our lives is not all going in the same direction. So this isn't God now grouping, you know, taking a group of people. God is sending us out into the world from this place each and every week to accomplish his individual will for each of us. And if it was a cloud and a pillar, we'd all have to head the same direction. God said, I'm going to give you something better than that. Isn't that good? Amen. Think about that. And yet, having all of these things, now think about this. And yet, having all of these things, if we're not careful, we start getting in the habit of missing the will of God. We are not where we should be. and we are not when we should be there. You say, preacher, why is it, do you think, that with all of these advantages, we still end up spending a good part of our Christian life sometimes out of the will of God, not where he would have us to be? Well, I'm going to pull some of the answers from this story, so stay with me, and we'll give these to you in a timely fashion. Let me give you number one. Christians sometimes get out of the will of God because they do not like the location of his will. The location of his will. If you'll mark the scripture there, because I think we'll be coming back to it, but if you'll go over to Exodus chapter 15, we see two different locations contained within the just a handful of the same verses that I think give us a perfect biblical example of what they experienced. If you go to Exodus chapter number 15, they have not long been over the Red Sea. They are just beginning the wilderness journey. I want you to look at verse 22 of Exodus chapter number 15, and let's catch up on where they're at. So Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea, and they went out into the wilderness of Shur, and they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. And when they came to Marah, they could not drink of the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore, the name of it was called Marah. And the people murmured against Moses, saying, "What shall we drink?" And he cried unto the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree. Now, they've just come out of the Red Sea. They've just gotten into the wilderness. And all of a sudden, God says, "You stop here." Where? At a place called Marah. Okay, we're thirsty. We've gone 3 days without water. You stay here. Okay, but it's called Marah. Why, I wonder, is it called Marah? Somebody try the water. Oh, it's called Marah because the word Marah means bitter. We can't drink this water. We don't have water. We can't drink this water. Lord, let's go. And I think the cloud just hovered. Okay. Hey, we can't stay here 3 days without water. They go to bed that night. They look out and it's just the cloud has fire on it now. And it's there. Okay, this thing led them, come on, out of Egypt across the Red Sea. There's not even a tabernacle built yet, but the cloud's there. Okay, hey, don't Moses understand the circumstances? Now watch this, folks. They're looking at the circumstances. Moses is looking at the cloud. They're pressuring him because of the circumstances. And, well, I kind of wish I had this out that Moses had. I think when they came and complained, he just kind of looked at them and goes, "Guys, what do you want me to do?" And yet every single one of us, if we were honest, say, you know, I've been there. I've been wanting to run ahead of God. I've been wanting to fix something that I didn't like. God put me in a location to teach me. So, by the way, there's one of the most incredible lessons in all of the Bible is found in this story. And they wouldn't have learned it. And we wouldn't have it to read. Because you know what? Which of us do not and have not struggled with bitterness in our life? And so they're fussing and complaining. And then Moses goes to the Lord and he cried to the Lord, verse 25. And the Lord showed him a tree. By the way, the tree is a picture of the cross. You think about how beautiful this story is. And what this story has done to encourage and help people dealing with bitterness through all the years. But you know what? They don't care about that. I just care that I'm stuck here. I don't like my circumstances. There's things going on. I wish I could change it. I can't change them. And you know what? God's like, yep. And Moses is kind of like, hey, they're not happy. And he looks at the cloud that's just there. Now think about that. And so what did he say? He said, when he had cast into the waters, where waters were made sweet, and there he made for them a statue and an ordinance, and there he proved them. There, where? There. It had to happen there. There's a where to the will of God. There's a when to the will of God. You know what? Listen, there's times God's going to put us in a situation to teach us something, and he's going to leave us there until we learn it. And I can tell you this, I don't know how many times as I dealt with bitterness in my life, I go to this portion of scripture and I realize when I say that, you know what, if you'll go to the cross, there's nothing wrong in your life that can't be fixed at the cross. That includes bitterness. Because every time I want to get angry because of something that somebody's done to me, I've got to go to Golgotha's hill and look at a cross and realize what my sins did to Jesus. And if he could hang there and say, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do, then you know what? I don't have an excuse to hold on to my bitterness. Now, we all love this, that this is here, but do you realize that it wouldn't have been here if they had had their way? Now, look at verse 27, because it's interesting here. And they came to Elim, where were 12 wells of water and 70 palm trees, and they what? Encamped there by the waters. Now, let's put it to a vote, okay? Let's ask the children of Israel to vote. All right, y'all got two choices. All right, you can camp in Mara or you can camp here in this. I don't know about you, but that sounds like a tropical paradise to me. Plenty of good water, shade from the sun. I mean, come on. This is the type of place people spend thousands of dollars to go and spend 4 or 5 days in a location like this, and God says you get to encamp here. Now, what we need to understand is this. If we'll just follow the will of God, God will take us to the places we need. And there's going to be times we need to rest, and there's going to be times we need to journey, and there's going to be times where God says, stop here. We're going to look around and say, this is not a good place. This is not the campsite I would have chosen. You know, Lord, I think a couple more miles over there, and God says, no, here. Yeah, but Lord, I can look over there, and I can, no, here. But those mountains, if we got up there, it'd be a lot cooler. No, here. I think the scenery would be, no, here. And the cloud just comes and sets. And you know what we do? We watch the cloud. We trust the cloud. Come on. Is God good? Yes, is God wiser than us? Yes, is God in the process of wanting to teach us things so that we can be able to help ourselves and help other people? All of the, it's yes to everything. So listen to me. Just trusting. But sometimes we get out of the will of God because, you know what? Because I don't like the location of his will. Number two, let's move on. Sometimes we get out of the will of God because we do not like the timing of his will. Now let's kind of go back through, if you go back to Numbers, and let me talk about the different time periods that's mentioned. In verse 19, sometimes they tarried long in the same place. Verse 19. When the cloud tarried long, there it is, upon the tabernacle, and then it's followed by this, many days. Then the children of Israel kept the charge of the Lord and journeyed not. Sometimes they tarried a very few days in the same place. Verse 20, so it was when the cloud was a few days upon the tabernacle. In verse number 21, sometimes they just tarried a day. Look at verse 21. So it was when the cloud abode from even unto the morning, and that the cloud was taken up in the morning, then they journeyed. In other words, sometimes it stopped in the evening, let them set up the tent, sleep the night, they got up the next morning, pack up, here we go. But it goes on. Think about this. Whether it was by day or by night that the cloud was taken up, they journeyed. Now how about verse 22? It gives us a variety of situations. Or whether it were 2 days. Now think about this. Sometimes they stopped for 2 days. Sometimes they journeyed for 2 days. Now we're talking about they end up 40 years in the wilderness, okay? That's a long stretch of time. There was a lot of variety in that. And nobody knew day by day what it was going to be. So whether it were 2 days or a month or a year that the cloud tarried upon the tabernacle, remaining thereon, the children of Israel abode in their tents and journeyed not, but when it was taken up, they journeyed. No, that means sometimes God stopped them for a day. Sometimes he stopped them for 2 days. Now, think about this, ladies. I'll put the situation, you know, it takes quite a while just to get the tent set up. Those of you who like to go out camping, okay, what is wrong with you, all right? There's a reason they have Holiday Inn Expresses. Are you out of your mind? The amount of work that it takes, and I'll tell something else I just don't understand. Well, we got an RV. I don't understand that either. I mean, I don't understand why you would want to put a motel room on the back of your pickup truck and drag it around the country. I've been to the KOAs. Don't try to tell me they're not what they are. So you get to back your trailer in between two other trailers? That's comfortable. You know, I don't get that whole thing, okay? Now, some people, they're all into that. And if you are, hey, man, that's all right. But me, you know what? You know, you spend your, you know, $120,000 on your RV. It's, you know, it's $110 for a Holiday Inn Express. I don't stay in them that often. I think I'm coming out financially ahead. I do. Man, plus they have those cinnamon rolls down there for breakfast. Hallelujah. You're not going to find them cinnamon rolls at a KOA, I can tell you that. So, you know what I'm talking about here? This kind of interesting, different personality types. Because as I was thinking about this, I'm trying to think, okay, what is it teaching us? And I thought, you know, there's people, and I want you to figure out who you are right now, because this is fun. There's people that, if they stayed for 2 days, would be antsy. When are we going? Okay. Then there's people that, if they only stayed for 2 days, would be going, are you kidding me? Come on, think about it. Okay, there's, when it said a month and they rested in their tent, some of you is like, oh, glorious. It abode. I mean, we got the tent set up. We got everything set up. We got into a schedule. It said they rested. We get a month. The Lord's going to stay here. He picked a nice place. Look at these palm trees. A month. You know? Yeah, some of you are, I'm that person. There's other people. You know, come on, wives. Some of you are married to this guy, okay? And to get him to go on vacation for 3 days, it's just like, you know, you're enjoying it. He's walking around going, pulls out his phone. Put that away. All right. So, you know, whatever God did, think about it. He made some of them happy and some of them aggravated. Amen? I mean, just personality types. It says that at one point they stayed in the same place for a year. Now, there's some guys, and other people's like, this has been the greatest year of my life. You know, God makes people different. And some of the things that might frustrate me, actually, you would consider a blessing. And some of the things I might consider a blessing in my life, it might frustrate you. So it doesn't, listen, watch this. It doesn't matter. We can read this and all of us can find what we would like and where we would get frustrated. I was thinking about when they just stop overnight. And sometimes it was kind of a forced march. He stopped long enough to let them set their tent up. And you know what? I just think, how much do we get out? How much do we unpack? All right, there's a difference in living in a motel for one night and staying in a motel for a week. Okay, if I'm staying for one night, I'm living out of my suitcase. If I'm going to be there for 4 or 5 days, I put everything in the drawers. Why? Because it's different to me. Okay, when I plan a vacation, I want to get to a destination, check in one place, and then use that as the home base and stay in one place. I hate being in a different motel room 4 or 5 nights in a row. I don't like that. Now, some of you are just the opposite. No, I want to go as many places we can, and I don't mind packing up and going. You know, isn't it interesting? No matter who you are, there's parts of God's will that's going to be frustrating to you. Okay? But again, let's get back to where we started. Is God good? Is God wise? Can God be trusted? Okay? I mean, hasn't he proved it? And so, you know, no matter what it is. You know, you think about when America was settled. You think about that. Those of you that like history, okay? And Europe began to come over and settle America. And you know what? There were settlers. Think about this. There were settlers and there were seekers. I'm going to say it that way. There was always the ones that came in and helped build the first towns. And you know what they wanted to do then? They wanted to settle in that town. And you know what? They were wired that way. Hey, you know what? We could build something here. We could have a community here. We can begin to build stores and we can begin to construct a civilization and we can pass laws and rules and we can make this a good place to live. And so, you know what? We can collect some artisan skills and we can work as a community and we can help each other. And they just barely got into America and they wanted to settle. But there was always those men that just was looking over going, yeah, but what's on the other side of that ridge? And what's on the other side of that mountain? I mean, come on, read history. There was the Daniel Boones that literally would kiss his wife goodbye and sometimes be gone for months before he walked back in the door. And again, okay, there wasn't any cell phone. There wasn't any way of, you know, of knowing, and but you know what? There was just something, and you know what? You know what? America still needs both of those. Christianity still needs both of those. You think about it. There, you know what? Thank God for the people that settle into a church and say, this is the will of God for me and my family's life. And you know what? This church needs bus captains and Sunday school teachers and people that will support missions and people that will love the Lord and people that help knock doors and people that will be an encouragement. And you know, you realize how important that is to the stability of Christianity in America? But there's always going to be those ones that just says, you know what? This has been great, but man alive, I wonder what... Well, how are we going to get the gospel here? But what about this? And, you know, what about this people group? And, you know, and can I say it again? Christianity needs both. But I want you to think about this. Sometimes they tarried long in the same place. Listen, some Christians get out of the will of God because they do not like the timing of his will. If you are more of a mover than a rester, then when God makes you rest, it's going to be hard for you. But can I say this? It's still God's will. Can I use Martha and Mary as maybe a parallel? Okay. Martha, if you study the Bible, Martha's personality, she's a doer. She jumps up and she's got Jesus and his disciples coming over, and we've got to get the house clean, and we've got to get the food on, and you know, we've got to get this. And she was, you know, a hostess extraordinaire. Just had a heart to want to meet people's needs and make sure that they were comfortable and well-fed and things were right and things were good. And Mary hears that Jesus is coming, and she runs upstairs and locks herself in her bedroom, starts writing down all the questions she wants to ask him. And Martha's screaming up the stairway, "Mary, where are you? I'm getting ready for Jesus." "No, you're not. Get down here and get ready for Jesus." Can I say it? They were both getting ready for Jesus. It was just wired differently. And I know that Jesus tells Martha that Mary has chosen the better part, but can I say this? For those of us that are prone to devotion, we still need to serve. And those that of us that are prone and wired more for service, what a tragedy if we miss the devotion. And what I'm saying is the will of God a lot of times challenges a part of us and puts us in a uncomfortable situation and makes us learn lessons outside of what our norm is. Watch this. It stretches us and it grows us, and it's designed to do that. So there's going to be times where God says, "Sit still. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures." There's going to be times God says, "Get up." And there's going to be some of those sheep that says, "I think I'm fine. I like the green pastures. I need some more rest." "No, you don't. Get up." And there's others that are laying there in the green pastures, and the shepherd has a foot on their back because he's got a foot on their back to keep them lying down in green pastures for a little while. Hey, you know what? The will of God, folks, contains everything we need to help us grow up to be balanced in our Christian life. And, you know, I think about ministry demands. When I get into the ministry, I got to relate it to what I do sometimes to understand these things. And I think, you know, there's days when I just know that God says you need to spend this day, and it needs to be an office day, and it needs to be a day in my word. A day in my word. By the way, I think it's important that the pastor's office not lose the original title, and that it used to be called the pastor's study. And you know, folks, if I'm going to feed the flock of God, there's got to be that time where the cloud settles right back here. But there's other times when, you know what, I've got these things I need to prepare, and I go into my office and, okay, Lord, I got my schedule here, and I got to get this morning's, Sunday morning's message at least outlined and the basic things done. I've got to finish up Wednesday night's Bible study, and here it is Tuesday morning. And you know what the Lord says? "Hey, why don't you go out and spend a couple hours on your operation occupation?" "Like now?" "Yeah, like right now. Like right now." Hey, watch this. Boy, we're going to get to heaven and say, "Why didn't I listen?" Okay, what do you mean right now, Lord? I can do it tomorrow. No, now. Do you realize that God knows when that person is home? God knows the circumstances of people's life. God and God alone. There's a reason we call them divine appointments. There's some appointments that only God can orchestrate, can see, can know. And so, you know what? There's times when I've sat down and I already predetermined, planned what I was going to do that day, and God just says, nope. You know? And if he's doing it to me, I'm just going to assume he's doing it to you too. Because that's not unique to the pastorate. That's something that all of us share as brothers and sisters in Christ. Yes, plan your day. Yes, live on purpose. Yes, work off a to-do list. But never leave God out of it. And the one person that always ought to have veto power in any of our lives and any of our schedules is Almighty God. And so, ladies, you may say, boy, today I was going to accomplish all these things and I set a day beside. And he may whisper in your ear, you know, what about this widow lady over here? Why don't you go by and see her today, Lord? I mean, did you notice? I've already, you know, just go. I think what we do in those moments, really, I'm talking about the will of God, folks. Oh, the will of God for you to be a pastor. No, the will of God sometimes go see a widow. Will of God, stop and write a letter. Anybody write letters anymore? Will of God is to send a text, to send a verse. The will of God sometimes just to kneel beside your recliner at home and just say, Lord, I need to spend 30 minutes with you. I don't know. Say, preacher, but how do I know? You got something better than a cloud. You've got a Bible. You've got access to the throne of grace. You've got the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. We, come on, have no excuse for not knowing and doing the will of God. I'll give you one last thought. Christians sometimes get out of the will of God because they do not like the inconvenience of his will. Did you pick up on the last part of verse 21? And so it was when the cloud abode from even unto the morning, and that the cloud was taken up in the morning, then they journeyed. Well, good. That makes sense. He starts in the morning. He quits at night. We're on schedule. But the verse doesn't stop there. Whether it was by day or by what? Night that the cloud was taken up, they journeyed. Do you realize what this means? Come on, you think about children, families, talking about the cloud stopping, 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Well, it stopped a little early. We're going to have a nice evening. Well, we're going to take out a few extra things. We got a little more time. Even if it moves in the morning, we're going to have the afternoon and we're going to have all night to get a good night's rest. And all of a sudden, you know what? About 2 o'clock in the morning, somebody comes by and is beating on the side of the tents and saying, hey, pack up, pack up, pack up. You say, why would the Lord do that? Now, come on, moms. You know, you've got all these children. You've got 7, 8, 9 children. I mean, you know what? Everybody's in the middle of their sleep. I don't know about you, but you wake me up at 2 in the morning, I'm not a happy camper. I don't feel like packing up everything and going anywhere at 2 o'clock in the morning. Sometimes Christians get out of the will of God because they do not like the inconvenience of his will. Sometimes the will of God fits in my preferred schedule. Sometimes the will of God causes me great inconveniences. Silly illustration, but I'm going to share it. And I just had a quick in-and-out trip. Young preacher in Pennsylvania wanted me to do a men's meeting. So, you know what? I got online. I'm like, to me, the travel part of it is always the part that I dread. Don't ever ask, how was your trip? Okay, ask, how did things go? How did things go when you get there? I love that part of it. I don't like the travel part of it. So I get online, I'm like, how can I get there the quickest way, and how can I get back the quickest way and the most convenient way? Okay, so I get online. I've got to fly into Washington Dulles Airport. Okay, let me see I'm checking all the different airlines. Oh, my goodness sakes. United has a direct flight from Indianapolis to Washington. Indianapolis doesn't have a direct flight anywhere. Atlanta, a couple places. Not too many. And I went, you're kidding me. an hour and 45 minutes on a plane. Boom. I can leave at 3:30 and be there by 5:30. All right. Spend the night, preach. Look, when's the return trip? Hour and 45 minutes. 5:30 in the afternoon. I can be landed at 7:30 and at home by 9 o'clock on a Saturday night. Life's good. So I called the preacher up and I said, listen, could I get to the airport by 5:30? When does this thing get over? Boy, that's going to cut it awful close. I know, but can I get to the airport by 5:30? You know what I'm focused on right now? What's more convenient for me? So he says, well, you know, we were going to go till, yeah, I guess, you know, I might have to get you out of there a little early, but I could move the speaking engagements and I'm thinking to myself, then move them. And you know what? I can come up with all the right reasons. Man, I need to get back on time. I got a Sunday. I'm going into VBS week. I mean, you know, I'm 60. Okay? I mean, I can come up with all the reasons why. And so I get out there. And halfway through yesterday, my phone buzzes. And I look down and it's good old United Airlines. Guess what? There was a second flight that I just ignored. Because I didn't want to consider it. It leaves 10 o'clock at night. It lands at midnight. I don't want to take that flight. Guess what? They canceled my flight. Guess which flight I'm taking? Watch this. The cloud moved. So I'm going, and you know, come on. I think it's good that you know, even though I think our people really already know this. Your pastor is so human. I mean, I am so human. And I'm walking around for about an hour going, you've got to be kidding me. I finally get a flight that works. I finally get home at a decent hour on a Saturday. And now what in the world? So I go to the men's meeting. And you know what? I speak once in the morning session and once later on. And I told the preacher right away, I said, listen, whatever change you were going to make the schedule, don't change the schedule. Do what you were going to do. My flight got bumped, and he was like, man, I hate that for you, but you could tell he didn't hate it for him, you know. Hate that for you, but all right, great, all right, good, you know. So all of a sudden, you know what, here I was going to rearrange what they were doing, and all of a sudden I was going to leave even before the end of the service. And by the way, can I say this? When you do these men's things, a lot of the things that get done that's eternal, they don't happen so much when you're preaching or at the invitation. I'm talking about dealing with men, okay? I was able to finish that out on time, on their schedule. I was in no rush. They served dessert after. I went in there, sat at a table, moved around, talked to a number of men. I can't go into all of the things, but was able to help people, talk to people. I mean, some of the men that came were not church guys, and yet they opened up about some things that I had talked about. And I sat there for a couple hours ministering. And then, you know what, I say to the preacher, go ahead and take me to the airport. Well, your plane, I know, go ahead and take me to the airport. I got to study somewhere and I'll study there, and I want you to have the evening with your family, and so take me to the airport. So I get to the airport, you know, and you know what? I got time to kill. Guess what? Guess who's at the airport? Listen. Yeah, thank you. People. You know, folks, listen to me. Trust the cloud. God's will is not always convenient. It doesn't fit in our schedule. Darren Whiting, pastors in Iowa. I know I'm going a little long, but just look right up here. He said, I want to introduce a man to one of the most faithful men in my church. And I said, okay. And he walks over and introduces. He said, I want you to remember him. I'm going to tell you something about it later. He said, you know what? About 10 years ago, he said, here I'm working a full-time job, bivocational, full-time job and pastoring. And he said, God opens a unique opportunity, burdens my heart, and I have an opportunity to be chaplain for our law enforcement in the area. And he said, I go home and I think to myself, Lord, look at my schedule. My boys are young. You know all the things you can say? And it wasn't going to be every week, and it wasn't going to be all the time, but it had some responsibilities, and so he did. He just said, you know what, Lord, this is where the cloud's going. I'm following it. So he became chaplain. He said, that man right there, that faithful man in my church, he said, I want him to the Lord. Listen to me. I want him to the Lord, sitting in a squad car at 2 o'clock in the morning. I can take you to the road. I can take you to the spot. And I thought, the will of God is not always convenient. But here he points to a man that not only got saved, then his wife got saved, then his children got saved, faithful members of the church. You know why? Because the cloud moved at 2 o'clock in the morning. Hey, you're not Darren Whiting. You're not Jerry Ross. I'm not you. But I think if you take these Bible principles, they're real. And you plug them into your life, I think you're going to start seeing, come on, the cloud. I think you're going to start sensing when it moves. I think you're going to discover the where of God's will and the when of God's will. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for what we were able to discover. Lord, thank you that the Bible is timeless. Circumstances may have changed, different time, different people group, different dispensation. We get all those things. Same God. Lord, thank you for allowing us to just be any kind of a part of what you do. So I pray, Lord, that you would help direct all of us. I'm so excited as I look across the auditorium and think of the potential of what could happen this week. If all of us just simply said, okay, Lord, here's my life and here's the things I must do and here's the places I must go. But Lord, as I'm doing these things, may I be tender. May I look for those divine appointments. May I listen for that still small voice. When you change my schedule, help me look for the reasons you changed it. Instead of living in frustration over the changes, look for the reasons, the opportunities. Why did you slow this down? Why did you speed this up? What do you want me to see? What do you want me to do? And Lord, we can't do this without you. So I pray, Lord, that you direct each of us in Jesus' name.